All right. As I mentioned, I appreciated the men's retreat the past week. We really enjoyed it. Got a lot of good things out of that.
I think the preacher rubbed off on me just a little bit. Some of you know, most of you know Pastor Dwayne Boyer up north now and pastoring up there. It was kind of interesting because I'm an ex-athlete, okay? But I used to be involved in so many athletics and things like that, sports and competition. And of course, he's kind of that kind of a guy as well. A lot of sports, a lot of athletic competition. And he would talk. Now, if you know Pastor Dwayne, you know he talks 100 miles an hour. You have to really listen really well because he talks, you know, he just there's always a word in his mouth as he's going back and forth. But another thing that related with me, because as he was there, and I'm not saying that he was nervous or all to preach, but when he did, he has something that athletes do before they get ready to perform or do something like that, is you can't stand still. You walk back and forth, there's adrenaline pumping, you know, you're starting to lose your breath a little bit. There's butterflies, you know what I'm talking about, the butterflies in your belly. You know what, I don't get that way when I preach, but for some reason, I don't know if he rubbed off on me, whatever, I feel that kind of this morning. I'm excited to preach about what I'm ready to preach about. I hope that I can transfer it to you, but it kind of reminds me of those athletic days that I feel like there's a lot of adrenaline, so I hope that I can take that and that it will be funneled and transferred through God's Word, that it will mean a lot to you, because I'll tell you what I'm about ready to give you has the opportunity to change your life, if you would let it. Folks, what is going to be shared in the next few moments is extremely important for a Christian in the Christian life. So would you take it that way, please? It's going to be a blessing to you. From time to time, the teens or other people do activities, maybe as a youth group or something else, and you go to a corn maze. Have you ever been to a corn maze? You know about that? You know what it's like to go to a corn maze? You can go through a corn maze, and corn mazes are difficult, and they're even more difficult at night. You go through it at night, and depending on the lighting and what's there, and you can't even, I'm a person of perspective, and so it's not too hard for my wife to get lost. It's kind of hard for me to get lost because I have perspective of you know, the mountain here, or maybe the sun there, or just the way the clouds are going, and I have an ability to be able to do that. But at nighttime, when there isn't any of those things, it's a little bit difficult, and it's easily you're easily able to get turned around. In fact, so confused that you throw up your hands and say, "I have no clue where I'm at. I don't know where I've been. I don't know where I'm at now, and I don't know where I'm going." And you're ready to throw in the towel and say, "Somebody show me a map, blow a whistle, somebody get up on the tower and just, you know, tell me where we're at." Okay, you've been lost before. You've done that, and your feelings are that I just need something. Give me the direction. Give me a map. Give me a sound. Give me something so that I can get out. Have you ever also, kind of on a different thing, same thoughts, but has anybody ever presented a bag to you? They said, "Don't look in," and they presented a bag, and they said, "I want you to stick your hand in there and feel, you know, do whatever, and pull out your prize," right? And so you stick your hand in there, and you're trying to feel around, and you don't know what's there, you don't know, you're trying to figure out, you got the prize. I learned a trick from our intern the other day. He's still up at camp. Ben Reisinger said, Ben went to a Calvary Baptist in Quarryville, was having some sort of a sportsman's banquet of some sort. And Ben went up there to that. And I think he took Ryan with him, Ryan Funk. He went up there and they went to that sportsman's banquet, and when I got done, I knew that they were going to have some sort of, everybody that went in, their name was going to get put into some drawing, and they didn't have to pay anything for it. You know, they just went there, and they would get something. Wouldn't you know that Ben, of all people, was the one that pulled out this thing, and he won a black powder rifle. Ben, that was Ben. I thought, "Oh, that would be it. You would get that thing." You know, Ben won that. But he said, "You know what, Pastor, you know what I did?" He said, "I have a trick." He said, "Everybody was putting in their flat papers there. I went and I like folded mine up, you know, so it would stick out." I don't know if it works, okay? But Ben's convinced, he said, I folded mine up a little bit so that, you know, when they stuck their hand in there, you know, they'd feel around and, oh, there's something sticking out, and pull it out, and there would be that. Now, I don't know if that's how you do it, but have you ever put your hand in there and you're feeling around, but you're really in the dark with it? I know your hand doesn't have eyeballs on it, but you're in the dark there and you're feeling around trying to figure out, you know, something. You're trying to get that thing, but you're in the dark. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about our way to God. I'm not so much talking about for eternal life, but just that you would know God. And I'm not even talking about being super spiritual, that I, you know, Paul, that I would know him and the power of his resurrection, you know, talking about Jesus. And I'm not even really talking about that. I'm talking about the average person out there that really just, they need God's direction in their lives. Giving you a few examples. I need God's direction in my life to know what occupation to get into as a young person. I need to know God's direction about what I should be in life, and should I go to school, and where should I go. I need God's direction in life in who I should marry. I need God's direction in life in where I should live, and all of these things. And then as you're married and you do have a place and you have a family, then it's, God, I need direction in your life so I know how to raise these children. God, I need direction in my life so I know how to be the worker that you want me to be at work. God, I need wisdom and direction in life so that I know how to go through this life and do what I'm supposed to do, because, God, I want to know you. But sometimes knowing God to us kind of resembles being in a dark corn maze or putting our hand in a bag, and sometimes we don't know what we're feeling for. We don't know maybe what we're trying to find, but I want God's direction. There's no doubt in my mind that most of you would want God's direction in life, and you would even say, maybe not even some superhero spiritual way, I do want to know God, or at least his direction. I want to know him. How can I get to God? And I'm not talking about in terms of salvation. I need God in this. I need God's wisdom. I need his direction. I need to know the way. Have you ever asked that or said that? I need to know the way. And I don't know the way. And I will tell you that I've been in many places in my life where I have wanted to know God's way, and I didn't know it. Maybe a circumstance comes up, an opportunity to, you know, to go for a job, or to go for a ministry, or to go to school, or whatever it is. And there's opportunities, and some of these are big, and you want the way. I need to know what the way is. And for a lot of us, what we're looking for are things. We're looking for signs. We're looking for maps. We're looking for a road. We're looking for direction. We want to have understanding. We want to be able to see everything. It kind of reminds me of the person in the Bible, Thomas. Are you familiar with Thomas? Everybody calls Thomas Doubting Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. And I think we're a little hard on Thomas. But there's no doubt Thomas had a little bit of an edge on himself that tended to be a little bit negative or pessimistic. Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to John? John chapter 14. We're actually going to be looking at a passage that no doubt most everybody's familiar with to some extent. John chapter 14. And I think even if I just say John chapter 14, there would be many of you that would identify the verse in there that most people know. John chapter 14 and verse 6, right, is the verse that a lot of people at least can go to. And if you didn't recognize the address of it, you certainly will recognize the verse when I read it. Here we have a situation where Thomas felt like he and his other fellow disciples were a little bit in the dark. And I would submit to you, on a human level, for good reason. Now, had Jesus, everybody look up here, had Jesus given bits and pieces to his disciples on what was going to happen. Had he given them some light? He had. He had been telling them along the way. And honestly, it wasn't some lifelong thing, because he only had a couple years with these disciples to invest in them. But I would suggest that he really taught these disciples a lot of what was going to happen. The problem was their human element and their thinking. They didn't understand what was going on. And in their human minds, they hadn't put all the pieces together for sure. But Jesus, it wasn't because they hadn't been told. They just didn't understand how it was fitting together. But Thomas here feels in the dark. He really doesn't know what or how some things that Jesus is going to say. Look at the passage. Let's start in verse 1, John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Jesus is speaking. This is moments. This is not long before Jesus goes to the cross. What we're going to celebrate here in a few moments, this is the last time. Last time with his disciples, he's given them some things. He's about ready to leave. And he's given them his heart, the heart of Christ, to his people, to his disciples. In verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled," Jesus says. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go," what does he say? "And whither I go, ye know." Now, based on Thomas's answer, you would have thought that he would say, "And where I go, ye know not." But he didn't say that. He says, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." He says, "You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there." Thomas, verse 5, "Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Now let's stop there. You know verse 6. Thomas felt like he was in the dark. He says, "Lord, you think I know, but we don't. We don't understand where you're going, and we don't understand how to get there. You tell us you're going to go and you're going to make mansions for us. You tell us you're going to do this, but I don't know." And honestly, folks, I feel like Thomas so many times in my life. "God, you said that you would give me so much. You said, you know, Jesus, we know. God, I know that you're our guide. I know that you are going to lead us into all truth. God, I know that." And every one of us in our church this morning would say, you know, if I ask the question, "Does God lead and guide us?" We sing the song, "In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along." Right? We know that he does it. We know that he leads, and we would all testify that God leads us and guides us. But when we get in life, so many times we feel like we're in the dark, and we say, "God, you said this, but I don't know. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know where to go. I don't even know what to pray." Have you ever felt that way before? "I don't know what to pray. I don't know, God. I feel in the dark, but this is odd. Because God, you said, Jesus said that he was light. He said that if we read the word, that we'll know. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We all know these truths, don't we, folks? We know that God says that, but yet we still feel in the dark for so many things. Would you agree with me? We feel in the dark. And we could say, "I really want to know God." Would you love to know God's will for everything? I'm not talking about some bad thing. You know, I know that, you know, that my time is going to come in 10 days. I'm going to die. It's a good thing we don't know everything. But I'm just talking about for decisions in life. Wouldn't it be good to know every decision, how to make it and what to do? Wouldn't it be kind of neat if God declared to us every step of the way so clearly that it was almost like he handed me a note. A note I have looked before when I have been trying to search the Lord for things I didn't know and is a big deal. I've looked in the heavens before for notes falling and I've never ever seen one. But we would love it if it would happen. I've prayed so many times, "God, if you would just simply let me know the way, I would be so happy. I would be so grateful that I would know I would be beyond a shadow of a doubt what you want me to do, and I'm willing to do it. I just want to know your way. But God, I feel in the dark. And this is the way Thomas felt, and I feel too. God, I know what you've said, but I don't know. And that struggles me, because I'm a person that likes to figure it out. What do you say? Do you like to figure things out? I know some people aren't so much like me. I like to figure things out. I like to know what's going on. I'm not kind of a person that just likes to shoot in the dark and just, hey, whatever. That's not my tendency. Some people are a little bit more like that, but I like to know what's going on. And I think Thomas kind of wanted to know what's going on. Sometimes it scares me a little bit when I study Thomas that I resemble Thomas a little bit too much. Thomas wanted to know. And Jesus gives some answers. You see, Thomas was looking for a specific path. He was looking for a specific answer. He really wanted a map. He really wanted to know that way. He wanted an answer. He wanted a map. He wanted a set of detailed instructions. He wanted the kind that had arrows. He wanted the kind that had it had the green lights, and he was okay with the red lights, because have you ever been thankful for a red light? I'm not talking about in your path as you're driving, but I'm talking about what we commonly in the Christian life refer to as closed doors. You know what I mean? When God closes a door. Honestly, for a person that wants to know God's will, closed doors are wonderful because they're easy. I don't have to make any decision. God said no, and I don't have to go there anymore. Thomas wanted green lights. He wanted red lights. He wanted arrows. He wanted a yield sign. He wanted north, south, east, and west. He wanted the distance. He wanted the geographical landmarks, etc., etc. He wanted it all. He wanted to know. He wanted to clearly see the direction, and he wanted the way. He basically is saying, Jesus, I want you to make it clear to me the way. You're making this a little obscure here. I don't understand. You're telling me that you're doing all this great stuff for me. You're telling me that you're going to go away. You're going to come back and receive you. But you want me to go. You want me to go there. But I don't understand this. And you're telling me in the previous verse, verse 4, that I know it. But God, I don't. Jesus, I don't know. And as much as I hate to admit it, I feel like Thomas so many times. You say I'm supposed to have light. God, I don't. I don't know what you want. Thomas wanted to know the realities of the possible trip. He wanted to envision it. He wanted to understand it for himself. He wanted to understand how it was possible. He wanted to understand everything about it. He not only wanted the way, Thomas really wanted the truth about everything. I want to have an understanding of this. So he wanted the way. He wanted the truth about everything. You know, Thomas wanted to know the vehicle that they were going to use to get there. Now, not literally. There wasn't, you know, what model of truck or car. It's not that. But, you know, Thomas was asking, and how are we going to get there? He wanted to know what power, what fuel, what capabilities. He wanted to know the means of getting to this destination that in his mind was obscure. You see, Thomas wanted to know the way. Thomas wanted to know all the truth and the ins and outs about it, and he wanted to know the life. He wanted to know the power to get there. Thomas wanted a road, he wanted a map, and a complete understanding of it, and he wanted a vehicle to get there. Folks, many of us are the same way. We want to know. We want to see the road. We want to know the ins and outs of it. We want to be able to understand everything about it. And we want to know how we're going to have the strength and energy and the power to get there. God, I need you to show me this stuff, so that we can proceed. That's interesting in verse 4 that he said, you do know, you've got it. Now, how do you think Thomas would respond to that? Well, it says how he responded. Here we have, we've got Thomas and the other disciples. Jesus says, and you know it, you know where, and you know how. And what was Thomas's response? Jesus says, you know where, and you know how. And Thomas over here says what? No, I don't. He said, I don't have the map. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the power. He says, I do not, Lord. I don't. Now, what was Jesus' response back to him? Yes, you do, Thomas. And he says it in verse 6. Everybody look down. I know you know the verse, but I want you to see it. Every word. Look for yourself. So Jesus is responding back. Jesus says, you know. Thomas says, no, I don't. Jesus says, yes, you do. And this is how he says, yes, you do. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, and then the key words again, but by me. Now, okay, you read that. Look up here again. I'm not sure. The scripture doesn't teach, because Jesus goes on. I'm not really sure Thomas's response exactly. When Jesus says, you know, he says, no, I don't. Yes, you do. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't exactly know what Thomas would have done, but I can tell you probably what my mentality would have been. Probably a gasp of some sort, and this is, that's not what I wanted. Again, Thomas was looking for what? He really did. And when I say this, I'm not talking about literally, but maybe even literally. He needed a map. He said, God, I want to see it, and I want to see it, I want to understand it, and I want to know how we're going to do it. I need more than your words, what you're saying. And what was Jesus' response? And this is key as well. Jesus' answer wasn't this. Okay, look up here again. Jesus' answer to Thomas wasn't this. Thomas, I know that you're needy, and I've got you covered. In fact, I've got everything that you need right here. Let me hand it to you. Thomas, you follow that, and you'll get to God. That's what Thomas wanted. Thomas wanted the set of instructions, but that's not what God gave. Thomas wanted Jesus to say, Thomas, I know you've got a lot of questions. Here's your map. And I know you, Thomas. I know that you're skeptical. Thomas, we're going to sit down right now, and I want you to be able to answer me every question. Ask all of your questions, and here's a manual that has every answer in it that I'm going to give to you so that you can read for yourself and you can find everything. Until you're done, you're going to know the ins and outs, the ups and the downs, the curves, the roadblocks, the valleys, the mountaintops. You're going to know it all. Thomas, here it is, and I give it to you. You know, Thomas wanted so much to know how he was going to get there. Are you going to provide a fast mule for me? Are you going to take me on a wagon? Are you going to and I'm being a little facetious here, but Thomas wanted to know how this was going to all work. You know, and Jesus could have said, Thomas, I've got you covered with that too, because sitting outside is the best set of horses or whatever to get you there, and they can go wherever they need to take you, and they're going to take you to this right spot. He could have said, I've got all these things, and handed them to Thomas. But you see, that's what Thomas wanted and expected. Thomas wanted Jesus to hand some of this. But can I tell you, folks, that's not the way God works, but that's the human way we think. But there's got to be some rethinking here with what Jesus said. I think Thomas was probably a little bit disappointed because that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, here's this for you. Here, look at this. And outside, there it is. Jesus didn't have anything else in his hands. Jesus didn't have any manual to give him. He didn't have a set of instructions. He didn't have anything else. All he had was himself. He said, Thomas, here I am. And I am all you need to get there. That's all you need. All you need is me. You don't need a set of instructions. You don't need to understand everything in your life, and you don't need another vehicle to get there. All you need is me, and you've got me. You've got me. That's what Jesus said. He says, don't seek a path from me. Did you catch that? Are you listening? He said, don't seek a path from me. No, he said, seek me. He didn't say, Thomas. Or he did say, Thomas, don't try to figure everything out. No. Trust me. Thomas, don't work yourself to come up with the means to get there. He says, Thomas, I am your means. For you see, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is our destination, folks. Listen, did you hear that? Jesus is our destination to God. When we find Jesus. In fact, Jesus says it here. When you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. Thomas, your destination to the Father is here, right here. I am here. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Notice number one, and you're probably scrambling because you say, Pastor, we have 13 minutes. Listen to this. Number one, Jesus is our way. And in that, I capitalized and bolded and underlined the word is. I've told you this before, is. He is. Jesus is. He is our way. If I could say it very simply, he is our road. He is our pathway to the Father. He is that road. Do you remember in Exodus chapter 3, it's all over Exodus, and it's actually all over the Old Testament, but in Exodus 3 and Exodus 6, there was God stating who he was, and in chapter 6, he stated to Moses who he was, and what was the answer of who he was? Now, this is Jehovah stating who he was. What was his answer? I am, right? Jehovah, I am. And there is significant significant theological thinking and application from that, just thinking, I am. I am is very exclusive. It means that there isn't any other. It's me. It's exactly what Jesus is saying here. And notice that this is one, you know, that was Jehovah back in the Old Testament. Jehovah. And he told Moses over and over again, I am. I am. And I'll tell you what, so many times through the Old Testament we read, I am, I am, I am, I am. And that means, Jehovah means the self-sufficient one, that there is no other means, there is no other way. You don't need a map, you don't need a lot of intelligence and knowing how to get there, you don't need a vehicle to get there. He says, I am. God was I am to the nation of Israel, and yet God did not leave us hanging. He sent Jesus to be our I am. In a number of statements and sentences, Jesus says the same thing. And here we see, I am. We're talking about the same God. We're talking about the same one. I am. I am is able to do it. You don't need anybody else. I am. Jesus, the I am, is our way. He is the literal road. He is the road. Jesus doesn't just walk us down the road. He is the road, folks. He's the road. He is the pathway. In Hebrews chapter 10, turn there really quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Keep your fingers here in John 14, but in Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. So we see in the Old Testament, He was the way. He was the way in the Old Testament. He is the way. Right here, He's telling Thomas, He said, I'm the way. And even in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, having therefore, this is talking about Jesus, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The only way to get to God, you see, is what He's saying. Brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which He hath, and by the way, that new wasn't altogether a new thing. It was just the new covenant that He had given. It was still God. It was still I am. Which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest, and that was Him, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The point that I make here is in Exodus, in the past, He was. To Thomas, He was in this, what He calls the new and living way. He was the way. And folks, I'm going to tell you, He's still going to continue and remain to be the I am in the future. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 8 and 9, talking about the end times and the new kingdom that is going to come, the thousand-year, the millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9. Notice the words that are being alluded to, the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah that will reign at that point in time. And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, through fools, shall not, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, no any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Folks, I want to tell you something. He has been the way from the beginning. He was the way in the Old Testament. He is the way right now, and He will be the way in the future. He is the way. He's the road path. He is what you're looking for. But so many of us in life, getting real practical, so many of us in life are looking for a map. God, I just need to see it for myself. I want to see the turns. I want to see the road. And Jesus is standing to every one of you. Every one of you, Jesus is standing there, and He's saying, Sean, I am right here. You say, preacher, what does that mean practically? Practically, what does that mean? Before I give you a list of practical things, I like one commentator and what he said. It's a little bit lengthy. Just listen. He says, the true value of a way is never realized until we are following it through an unknown country or groping along it in almost absolute darkness. He says, I remember during a tour in Switzerland, on starting for a long day's march, the comfort of the assurance that I had to keep to one road which was clearly defined, and it would inevitably bring me to my destination. How different this from another experience of making my way, as I might, across the hillsides in the direction which I fancied was the right one. All that had to be done in the first instance was to follow the roadway, to obey its sinuous windings, and to climb the hills where it climbed, to descend the valleys where it descended, to cross the rivers and torrents at the precise point with it. It seemed responsible for me as long as I kept to it. Whenever I thought to better myself by wandering right or left, I found myself landed in some difficulty, and when I returned to it, it seemed to say, why did you leave me? I know that sometimes I am rough and difficult, but I can do better for you than you can for yourself, and indeed I am the only possible way. Obey me, and I will bring you home. And he goes on to say, it is so that Christ speaks to us. Each day as we leave our home, we know that the prepared path lies before us in the good works which God hath prepared for us to walk in. And when we are ignorant of their direction and are at a loss as to where to place our steps, we have only to concern ourselves with Christ. And almost unconsciously, we shall find ourselves making progress in the destined way. Christ is the way. Therefore, love Christ, trust Christ, obey Christ, be concerned with Christ, and all else will be added. Christ is the way. When the heart is wrapped up in Him, it is on the way, and it is making progress, although it never counts to rate or distance. So occupied is it with Him. Folks, our road for Jesus, He wants us to stay connected to Him. Practically, that means that we look at Him. We look at Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We listen to Jesus. We hear Jesus. We acknowledge Jesus. We go to Jesus. We obey Jesus. We talk with Jesus. We ask of Jesus. We thank Jesus. We praise Jesus. Folks, Jesus is our road. He is the way. Did you catch the practicality? You say, how is He my way? I don't know. You don't need to know A, B, C, or D. You just need to know Jesus. And I want to tell you, folks, I'm preaching at myself right here. I am preaching at myself because I am the one that likes the map, and I like the truth. I like to understand everything about it, and I want to know how I'm getting there. That brings us to that second point. He's the way, but He's also the truth. He is the truth concerning the Father. In life, we want to try to figure out everything that we can. We want to figure out everything. We want to figure it all out, but Jesus is the answer. Again, capital I, capital S, bold and underlined. He is the truth. You never needed to understand everything about life. Did you hear that? You don't have to understand why. You don't understand half. You gotta have to understand how. You don't have to understand who. You don't have to understand where. He says, listen, you've got me and you're found. You're okay. You stick with me and you've got truth. I'm the kind of a person that likes to figure everything out. But unto them which are called, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That's in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. See, I just wish I had wisdom. You've got Him. He's Christ. The wisdom of God. You remember what John said in chapter 1 of verse 14? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full. That means complete. He is truth. Jesus. Three verses down. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by only one, and that was Jesus Christ. I've got a page full of verses on Jesus being the truth. Concern yourself, brothers, with Christ. Be content to let the world and its wisdom alone, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, the Scripture says. Give yourself to know who He is, to know who Christ is, who is made unto us wisdom as well as sanctification and redemption. To know Him is to be at the fountainhead of all truth. And the soul which has dwelt with Him by day and night will find itself not only inspired by the undying love for the truth, but able also to hold fellowship with truth lovers and truth seekers everywhere. Nay, will be able even to instruct those who have the redemption or reputation of great learning and knowledge in the schools of human thought. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. To know, listen, to know and to possess Christ is to have the Word that is the wisdom of God enshrined as a most sacred possession in the heart. And when Jesus says, Sean, it's me. I don't have anything to hand to you. It's me. I'm like, folks, I want to tell you, He's enough. You don't need to understand anything. Stick with Him. Stick with Jesus. Back to those practical things and sticking with Jesus. See him, hear him, acknowledge him, obey him, talk with him, ask him, thank him, praise him. That's acknowledging Jesus. Number three, Jesus is our life. He's the power. In life, so often, men have tried their very best to get to God through their own work, in their own terms, their own ways, their own power. But in John chapter 1 and verse 4, we see that in him was life. And the life was the light of men. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I shall give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I ask you, do you believe that Jesus is your way? I'll tell you something. You need nothing else. You need him. I love the song. Jesus is all the world to me. I wish it were true. This is a prayer of mine. It's a prayer of mine today. That Jesus would be everything to me. But I cannot say he is. I'm just being honest with you. I cannot say he is. I am trying to learn. But I wish he was. Because when we have the life of Jesus, and by the way, you pray for this, because I am praying and contemplating what to start another series Sunday morning. And I'm about this close from starting 2 Peter. And 2 Peter's huge about false teachings and all kinds of stuff, but I'll tell you, the core of false teaching is the person of Jesus Christ and what he has given to us. You pray that God would lead me. I'm thinking about 2 Peter, but I'll tell you what. He ought to be everything to us. We need nothing more. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. Without Jesus, there is no life. Nothing in this world can provide life. Nothing else in this world, because he is the life. We ask for these things, and what did he provide? Himself. He provided himself. What's your answer for your way in the dark? I'll tell you that the right answer is the person of Jesus. We're not even talking about Jesus handing you this and handing you that. No, it's Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you talk to Jesus? Do you worship Jesus? Do you know Jesus? He's the answer. I'm going to ask my family to come up and sing a song. I know that the special music is backward this morning. Normally we have it before. Well, my family's going to come and sing a song, and I believe that they're going to have the words up here. You've actually heard, I think Melissa and I sang it not long ago. I think Melissa sang it with Ashley Grimes a couple years ago. And I don't even know if our family sang it. But I want you to pay attention to the words. The song was based upon John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Down.
trust that that will be said of you as well. I trust that it will be said of me. I trust that it will be said of those kids. And that we want no other life. It's all about Him. I don't need a map. I don't need a set of instructions to understand everything. And I don't need the vehicle to get there. We have Him. We've got it all. Jesus is there. And we've got Him. Folks, let's take Him. It's no big secret. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. What makes this all possible is because Jesus did a work on the cross. He went to the cross. When He went to the cross, He paid the penalty for our sin. His blood and His righteousness. The song that we sang, His blood and His righteousness. His sacrifice and His gift. Tremendous. We're going to partake of a representation of His flesh. He's a cracker. That representation is for us to remember the sacrifice. His willingness to go to the cross so that we could have all that I just preached about. Wouldn't be possible if Jesus wouldn't have gone, but He did. So that we could have the way, the truth, and the life. He offered Himself, He sacrificed, and the bread, which we're going to partake of in just a minute, is going to represent that. And when you take it, if you take it, it ought to be because you want to remember. God, thank You for doing that for me on the cross. Thank You so much. He sacrificed Himself, set You aside, and He said, no, Your place over there, Sean. Over there. Over there where I belong. Next to the Father. Righteous. The juice represents that righteousness. It represents His blood. The blood that He shed to give us that righteousness. Clean. The atonement that we sang about in our first song. The atonement. All gone. Pure and holy before the Lord. We're going to partake of these things so that we can remember. It's not going to do anything for you except for the fact, hopefully, it will help us to live the way we ought to, in thanksgiving for the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm new here. Who partakes? If you have something to remember, if I can say it that way, that's kind of a bleak way of saying it, but we're not going to police it or anything like that. It's up to you, but the point is for remembering, and so you need to be a believer. You need to be somebody that has something to remember. And my friend, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you could this morning. You could. And it would be for you. Not that that's the reason why we do it, but it could be. But this, but what we're about ready to partake of is for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ. And you have something to remember. And I will also say we need to be walking with the Lord. And if there's sin in our hearts and lives, we need to get it right, especially if the sin is with other believers. We need to get things right. But we praise the Lord. If we have something to remember and we're right with the Lord, then we get to partake and remember what Jesus has done for us. Through His sacrifice and His broken body for us and His shed blood that gave us His righteousness. I'm going to ask the men who are serving the Lord's table to come. I'm going to ask everybody else to bow your heads and close your eyes. Take some time with the Lord if there's something that you need to get right. And it might be more than just taking time with the Lord. If you need to get up and go to another pew and ask another brother or sister for forgiveness of something you've done, I want to encourage you to do that so that you can partake this morning. If you're not willing to do that and get right, then the Scriptures teach that maybe it not be the right thing for you to partake. You guys can be seated. But again, I just want you to take this time to prepare your hearts to remember what God has done for you.